It's Family Day, and we're a family. Thank you so far for everything that's come about in this service. I heard that this saying lately. Over history as we know it, God has sanctioned three institutions. The family, from Adam and Eve. The second is government, from Noah after the flood. And thirdly, God instituted the church from Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And all these three are coming under severe attack in our society today. The devil is trying his best to destroy them all. And if these, and especially families, are going to survive, they're going to need help. A pastor said, as he remembered when his first baby girl was born, there was my little girl crying helplessly, and my wife groaning from the pain of the delivery, and I didn't know who to go to first. Already I needed help to know what to do, and I asked God for help to know. Do we really still think that we can make a family work today without God? Just 2 weeks ago, a colleague of mine confided in me with a broken heart. My wife is filing for divorce after 20 years of marriage. In a few instances, spouses can get along so well, they will not separate. But for the most of us, we're too selfish and we're too hard-hearted. Where does the idea of unselfish and forgiving come from? It comes from God. And who teaches us persistence and patience and long-suffering and love? God does. And where do the words, "I hate divorce," come from? They come from God. Well, God has made the family, and it is his plan that the family not just survive, but that it thrive. At a seminar about a family, the teacher began by asking, "How many of you wish your teenager had a stronger faith?" Every hand went up. Then he made this comment, "The truth is, what we see in our children's faith is a mirror image of our own faith." So he said, "The issue is not our children's faith, but the issue is our own faith." A mother recently told me about her son growing up, her only son, her only child. She put everything she had into him. He grew up and left Burnaby, B.C., for Calgary. He bought an old but larger house and began renting every bedroom in the place while he lived there also. She said to him, "Are you sure? Do you think you can do it? Do you think it will work?" She had serious doubts. After a while, she came to visit. She checked it out for herself. "This is going to be a disaster," she thought to herself. She came in. The counters were clean. Not one thing out of place. She went to his bedroom. Everything was tidy. She opened his drawers, and there she saw his socks put together, rolled up, just like she used to do when he was a little boy. She said, "Son, I'm impressed." And he replied to her, he said, "Mom, didn't you know in the back here, you are there?" May I tell you, parents, you are there. But so is your faith, whether strong or weak. The Church of Jesus Christ has lost so many young people. Why? We like to blame the church. But there is a difference in families where faith is lived on a daily basis. We are the church. And then we go home. Don't you think that where Jesus Christ is front and center, God is going to make that place to grow? I think he will. It will be just like it says in Psalm chapter 93, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of their God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. I want to speak to you today about something you can do to make your family a flourishing, thriving, faithful family, and one with faith that sticks. And it focuses on three aspects of the scripture that Tim read and another one. Three aspects of faith. Faith that knows, a faith that acts, and a faith that tells. First, a faith that knows. Tim already read it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. You were shown these things so that you might know, it says. You have got to know what you believe. You have got to know this word, what it says, and what it teaches. You have got to know the big picture. You have got to understand what the Bible is trying to say to you before you will be able to give yourself to it and then pass it on to the rest of your family. That's part of what Abe Funk said and meant when he said, ministry is the overflow. First, your tank has to be full. I mean, how can you follow something you can't even understand? Yet many do. God's plan is supposed to be understood. And while we may never understand it fully, what God has done or his ways, but like it says in the Gospel of John, these things are written so that you can believe. On a visit last year, my Uncle Henry told us about his journey to faith in Jesus Christ. He was a young fellow in Bible school. An evangelist came by and told him about life in Jesus, told him about the gospel. The message stirred his heart, and he gave himself to belief in Christ with great joy. That summer, he had a job on a farm, and he said he sat on that tractor, and doubts began to come to him. He said it was the devil who said to him, so, you think you're saved just because you say so? You're not saved at all. Why, you're the very person you were before. Day after day, he was plagued by these doubts. Finally, he went to his teacher at the school there, the Bible school, and he asked him how he could be sure that he was saved with a place in heaven. That's easy, the teacher said. And he pulled out the Word of God, and he showed him Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. Where it says this, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. You need to know what God says. It is not an opinion. It's not an emotion. It's not because you feel it up here or here, but because God's word says so. And one more thing here. To understand the big picture of what God did and why and how God worked out everything, coming to Jesus on the cross, we need to know the Old Testament. Creation, the fall, Abraham, and the Exodus from Egypt. This is something the New Tribes missions do when they teach Aboriginals in countries like Papua New Guinea, where people never heard or have seen a Bible. You need to know how everything got started and why we are in so much trouble. Like one pastor said, you have to know the bad news first. It's the bad news that makes the good news good. Not only will you have a faith that knows to have a successful family, you will also have a faith that acts on what it knows. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. the next portion of Scripture. It says, keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today. We've heard again and again, kids want to know if something is real or not. And they do know, just as you know. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11 says, even a child is known by his action. They know if something is real or not, authentic. We found out something the other day at our Saturday Bible study group. We're studying faith, and we found that the Greek word in this scripture, in the original Greek, in the New Testament, the Greek word for faith and faithful is the same. There's one word for both. That means that believing and living are inseparable. It's inconceivable that you would believe and not act. Real faith is a faith that acts. And that's what the book of James is teaching us. Faith without works is a dead faith. Look at verse 40 again. So that it may go well with you and your children after you, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you. We have to realize that keeping the commandments is not doing God a favor. He's already perfect. You don't help God when you do these things. You help yourself. You help your family. Do you want a healthy, happy family? The first commandment is this: put God first. Put God first. And honor your parents. Don't commit adultery. Be content. These are the keys of a healthy family, the Ten Commandments. And God has placed them right in between obeying in chapter 4, the verses we've just been looking at, and the teaching it to your children, which is in chapter 6. The Ten Commandments are chapter 5. There's no hypocrisy allowed. You've got to do what you say. And you have got to have a faith that acts. If you will be a successful family, you will have a faith that knows. You will have a faith that acts. And you will have a faith that tells. Look now at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Let's look at that. Tim didn't read it, so let's do it together. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Very familiar passage. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. A lot of people think, well, I'm just going to let my kids decide for themselves. If I push my faith on them, they'll just rebel anyway. If you don't tell them, someone else will impress on them. Every time we turn on the TV, or read, or take a class, or speak to anyone, there's an opinion, an impression. Folks, we need to use our influence for good. I saw a special on football great O.J. Simpson. He played for the Bills from 1968 to, I think, 1975. The time of O.J.'s greatest achievements on the field were some of the most tense moments in fighting for African-American equal rights demonstrations. People begged O.J. to become involved, thinking he could make a difference for the cause, and he could have. He was famous, but he refused. He stayed silent in his elite football world. He would not use his voice. He could have made a difference. You have a voice. You need to use your influence in your family now. The Bible says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. Your grandchildren love you. Your children still need you. They need to hear how you came to faith. And thank you, Maxine, for that children's story. They need to know what you are praying for, so that when God makes it happen, they will put their trust in your God also. They need to hear about what you're reading in the Word of God and what your questions are. Just the other day, one of you was speaking to me an amazing thing happened. The grandchildren came to them, and they said to them, "I'm talking about the Bible with this man," he said. The children heard that. That was good. The young people in this church need to hear that God is on your mind. Then they can see the outcome of a life centered on Jesus Christ. Is talking about your faith really important? That important? Every time you hear or read the Word of God, God is speaking to you. That's how important words are. Jesus was almost continually teaching his disciples and the people. And words have a tremendous impact for good or bad. The Bible says, out of the abundance, the mouth speaks. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's how important words are. I've told you today about three aspects of a family faith. Which of them are the most important? Which of them is most important? All three are important, and all three work together. If you speak without knowing, you're a fool. If you know without acting, you're a hypocrite. If you act without speaking, you are stealing glory from God, who alone is completely good and truly righteous. For your family's sake, you've got to know, to act, and to speak. And with God's help, we're going to do this. One more thing and I'm done. You've heard people say, it takes a village to raise a child. It sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds really good. But I heard this the other day. They got it backwards. It takes a family to raise a child. And it takes strong families to make a village, a community, and a country. Let's invite Jesus Christ into our homes and win our families for him. That will make a family strong. That will make our country strong. That will make our town strong. There's a little poem I found by Mr. Daniel Henderson. It goes like this. Lord Christ, beneath your starry dome, we light this flickering lamp of home. And where bewildering shadows throng, uplift our prayer and evening song. Do you, with heaven in your ken, seek still a dwelling place with men, wandering the world in ceaseless quest? O man of Nazareth, be our guest. Lord Christ, the bird his nest has found. The fox is sheltered on the ground. But do you still this dark earth tread and have no place to lay your head? Shepherd of mortals, here, behold, a little flock, a wayside fold, that wait your presence to be blessed. O man of Nazareth, be our guest. I know most of you, you love your children so much, you would do and give anything, including your own life, to save them. God is the way to a healthy family. You turn to Jesus. You come to Jesus. Amen.